Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. Join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
His house, my home. And we're talking, I share with you, just God is beginning to, our vision sometimes expands. Our mission is the same. I don't believe, God very rarely changes our mission. And sometimes God will give you the one part of a vision, and then as you begin to go into that and begin to pursue that, God will enlarge your territory and enlarge your scope of what God wants you to be. And one thing I really feel like God put on my heart this year as I was praying through our fast that we did last month, I really feel like the Lord spoke to my heart very deeply and said, you've been building a house, now it's time to make the house a home. I believe God wants Red Life Church to be a home, amen? We looked at this last week, we looked at the story of the prodigal son. Every prodigal needs a place to come home to, amen? And there are many, many people in our community that either used to serve God or used to attend church, and for whatever reason, and there are many reasons that people can get offended or get turned off or just choose to get away from church, but at times, not always, but often when someone begins to walk away from the church, their heart will usually begin to drift away from the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's why it's important. And so there are many people that have gone away and they feel like there's no home to go home to. And that's not just in this community, that's in every community across the world. But every prodigal needs a place to come home. We looked at that story in Luke chapter 15 where the Bible says the prodigal came to himself and said, I'm going back to my father's home. I've got to go home. And God has called Red Life Church and his church, the big church, every church across the world, should not just be a house that we visit, but a home that our spiritual lives take place in. Amen? Amen? And so we began to just kind of dig into that a little bit last week. And we're going to continue that thought and dig a little deeper into that this morning. And we're going to talk about this. The beauty of a home, one of the most important factors that distinguishes a house from a home is this, that in a home, I have a place to belong. Amen? Everybody say a home is a place to belong. I want to read this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Then I'm going to pray, okay? So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. I don't want to do any extra praying here in church this morning. You know, I'm just kidding. Sorry, stay with it. Everybody say, stay with it, Justin. All right, sorry. I've got a little rambling spirit here on me this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, everybody say together. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Verse 22 says, through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Now I want you to skip in chapter 3 and let's look at verse 6. And then verse 6 says this, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Everybody say they belong to Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this word. I pray, God, this word would come alive in our soul this morning. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our spirits would be awake and alert to hear and receive everything that you have for us today, God. Lord, I pray that your word will tear down every wall that the enemy may have built up in someone's heart or mind to keep them from being connected to you and to your family, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And I pray above all things that, God, as we explore your word this morning, that, Lord, we will have an encounter with you in a very real, a very deep, a very powerful and personal way as we explore your word together this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. Now, I've shared this theory before because it's something that so brutally scarred me as a teenager that it just I've seen it carried over in every area of my life. How many remember high school and just the wonderful years of high school? It was just the greatest time ever, right? High school was the best. How many remember high school? Some of you students in middle school or whatever, you can remember this. I remember like when the first day of school or when you go back from a new semester and your schedule's changed. And that first lunch was always so like a terrifying moment for me because here's what happened. Like, especially if it's a new semester, and has anybody realized this? Like, you get in a lunch table like the very first couple days of school, and you just stay at that lunch table forever unless something dramatic or crazy happens, right? And there's always this moment, and the reason this scarred me, I think, is because when I was a youth pastor, and when I was allowed to in certain schools, most of that got shut down over as time went on. But when I first started youth ministry, most schools would allow a youth pastor to go in and hang out with students and eat lunch with students. I would do that pretty regularly, about at least once a week. I'd go into a high school or middle school and eat lunch with kids from our church and just hang out with them. And so I experienced this as an adult later on in life, and it just brings all these memories back. It's that moment where you walk through the lunch line, and you haven't really connected with a lunch table yet, and you're sitting there with your tray, and you come out of the line, and you're looking around desperately for a place to sit down, just begging God to show you one friend that you know that you can walk up to, right? Hey, how many have experienced that before? I mean, your tray is trembling. You're like, oh, God. And you feel like the whole lunchroom is looking at you, and what is only taking about a half of a second feels like it's taking a couple of hours with a spotlight on you, and your face is flashing, saying, this loser has no friends, no one to say. How many has ever experienced that feeling? You're like, oh, God, a friendly face, someone I know, anybody I know, please, right? Why? Because we all want someplace to belong, right? And we begin to feel very uncomfortable. We'll begin to feel very nervous. We'll begin to feel like the biggest freaks in the world when we feel like, in a moment, we have no place to belong. Amen? And when we read this text here, Paul is writing to his friends in Ephesus, the Ephesian church. Now, the church in Ephesus is probably, by all outer numbers, Paul's most successful ministry. In fact, we know from history that the church that Paul started in Ephesus was a church that grew into the tens of thousands of people. In fact, history tells us that the church in Ephesus had to meet in the Roman stadium on Sunday morning or even Saturday nights. They had to meet in the same places where gladiators were fighting through the week because it was the only place large enough to hold the crowd that was coming together to worship in this church that Paul built. And so Paul, this is a mega church, a huge church, where Paul had seen amazing things happen. And you can look at the story in the book of Acts, and you see crazy things happen. In fact, the church was so monumental in Ephesus that a riot broke out in Ephesus that literally nearly tore Paul apart. And what happened was this. In Ephesus, they had a great temple to the Roman goddess Diana, or the Greek goddess, which is translated Artemis, or some people believe Athena. And it was known as the Temple of Diana, or the Temple of Athena. And it was known throughout the world. And what happened was, when all these people who were previously worshiping Athena or Diana got saved, they began to worship Christ and began to worship God. And that began to hit the pocketbooks of all the practitioners and the priestesses and priestesses of this temple. And so a riot broke out. And so here's what you have to understand. Again, I know I've shared this before, but you have to, when you read the Bible, you have to understand it in the context in which the original author is writing it to truly understand what's happening. So Paul is writing this church at Ephesus, which is primarily made up of Gentile believers, non-Jews, who have experienced the grace and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are all thankful for that, because all of us in this room, I believe, are probably Gentiles. Amen? If you're a Jew, that's awesome that you're but most of us here in America, we're probably Gentiles, and we thank God that God's grace was not reserved just for one group of people, amen, but is extended to everyone, okay? Now, so here's the first century church. You have Jews who have been brought up with the law of Moses, who are very good, very traditional, very well-rounded people, very, very much know the Bible, know the God of the Bible, understand all the things in the tabernacles and all the old covenant system, and yet they have experienced Jesus as the Messiah. Then you have these Gentiles who know none of that, who have come from all sorts of backgrounds, who have come, for instance, in the Corinthian church. In the Corinthian church, just like Ephesus was known as the place for Diana, in Corinth, They worshiped the goddess Aphrodite, okay? Aphrodite is the Greek goddess of sexual love. Now, to worship Aphrodite, you would go to the temple by what was called a temple priestess, which was basically a prostitute, and you would have sex with this priestess, and that was your Sunday morning worship experience. These are the people that are getting saved in this first century. This is what they've come from. This is what they've known. This is what they've experienced, okay? So you have these people experiencing God, and they're coming into church with Jewish believers who don't even want to associate with Gentiles for fear that they become unclean. And Paul is writing this letter, and what he's saying to these Gentile believers is this: guys, I want you to know that you belong here just as much as anyone else. Let's read this again from that context. Hear what he's saying. So now you Gentiles, you people who've come to church on Sunday morning and you're used to Sunday morning worship as having sex with a prostitute, that's where you're coming from. You're from this crazy background of all sorts of craziness in your life. Don't know anything about the Jewish custom. Don't know anything about Moses. Don't know anything about the Old Covenant. Don't know anything about that, but yet you've experienced Jesus. You Gentiles, listen, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house. What is he saying? You belong in the same place as these very conservative, very ultra-religious Jews who have also experienced the same grace of Jesus Christ that you have experienced. He's saying, guys, you belong. This Christianity thing, this home that we have found in Jesus, you belong there as much as anyone else. Now, he says two amazing things here. Two amazing things in this that we've got to understand. Number one, he says, just leave that up there for a second, and here in verse 19. I'm sorry. Yeah, 19. You do not belong to strangers or foreigners. Listen, he says you are citizens along with all God's holy people. Now, to a first century person growing up in the Roman Empire, being called a citizen is a huge, huge deal. Because in the Roman Empire, in the Roman system of law, there were different levels of citizenship. Because the Roman Empire was expanding and they were constantly conquering new peoples, new territories, what would go on is if you were part of a conquered land that the Roman Empire took over, you could never become a citizen. Now, your children could become a citizen that were born to you once your country was brought into the Roman system of government, but you could never be called a citizen, which meant you didn't have any voting rights. You had very little property rights, okay? In the Roman system of government, in the Roman Empire, there were slaves, and really there was a vast, vast, there was no middle class. You were either dirt poor and a slave, or you were a citizen of Rome with full privileges, really was where it is. You understand that? And I want you to hear this. Imagine you're a Gentile, and you're growing up with this type of culture where there is an ultra-high class and a very low, low, low class and really not a whole lot in between, knowing that you could never fully participate in the country that has rulership and lordship over you. And now, in Christ, you are called a citizen. And in the King James and in the original Greek translation, it's not just you are citizens. He says you are fellow citizens. In the original, the actual Greek can be translated, you are same citizens. What's he saying? He's saying, guys, you are exactly the same as anyone else in the church. You Gentiles and you Jews are fellow citizens together. You belong. Can you imagine hearing that? It means this, very simply. It means that he's saying, you may not be able to be a citizen in your country on earth. He says, but in Christ, you have become a citizen of heaven. And what does that mean? It means you have the same spiritual rights as everyone else. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a slave? And that's your plight in life because of where you were born, and there's very little you can do about it. And all of a sudden, you experience Jesus, and you're told for the very first time, that this may not be affecting, you may not feel like you're affecting your life here on earth right now. We can't necessarily change everything, but guess what? In heaven, you have the same rights as someone born into this. Can you imagine hearing that for the very first time? Amen? You know what? There are people that love Jesus and come to churches every Sunday morning, some probably in this place, and you feel like the blessings of God are rights for someone more spiritual or more holy or better than you. And what the Word of God tells us is, in Christ, we are fellow citizens. The rights one person has, according to the Word of God, are the same rights available to all citizens of the kingdom. Healing is not for just one special group of holy people. It's available for all citizens of the kingdom. Freedom in your life, freedom from addiction, freedom from fear, freedom from being afraid, freedom, according to he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's not just a right available to some really spiritual person who reads their Bible every day and comes to church every Sunday morning and doesn't ever cuss and doesn't ever lose their temper and doesn't ever yell at their kids and has a clean house or whatever things we think make someone holy or whatever else. Listen, it's the same rights for all the citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen? Why? Because you belong. You belong. You found a home in Christ where you belong. The second thing he says that is just so dynamic. I love the Word of God because it is so rich. And Ephesians is one of the richest books. It's 4-6 chapters long, but so rich in truth and deep spiritual implications. He says, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Not only that, you are members of God's family. You're members of God's family. So not only are you citizens with the same rights, but you now have a family in the household of God. Amen? This is the amazing thing about Christianity. This is the amazing thing about Jesus. This is the stuff that makes the church something that cannot be duplicated anywhere else in the world. Sure, you can find clubs, and you can join Kiwanis, and you can join the Lions Club, and you can find fellowship. But when you combine all these elements together, it cannot be matched. It is the one thing the church has that the world cannot duplicate. It's this fact. Listen to me close. In Christ, strangers become family, rebels become citizens, and the fatherless become heirs. It's the only place in the world you can find that. Say that again. In Christ, strangers become family. Rebels become citizens, and the fatherless become heirs of salvation and everything that entails. He says you become family, and I want you to remember, this is that you're hearing this through first century ears for a moment. First century ears in the Roman Empire. You are either born into it or you can do very little. If you're not born into the right family, there is very, very, very little you can do to improve your situation in life. This same thought carries over throughout the Dark Ages. Of course, we know we still see this type of privilege happening today, even though there are probably more opportunities. Not that it's not difficult, but there are more opportunities available to people who are not born into great structures, into great systems. There are opportunities there. Not that it doesn't take a lot of hard work, not that you don't have to work at it hard, but there are opportunities that there weren't available then. You understand what I'm saying? 2,000 years ago. Amen? This carries all the way through the Dark Ages. That's why the church really got so messed up back in like the 1500s and 1600s and 1400s, because the church was the only place that you could really improve your station in life if you were born a peasant. If you were born a peasant and not born into a royal family or some kind of knighthood, the only place that you could climb the ladder, if you will, was through the church. And so you had a lot of people who became priests and became friars and became ministers in the church back then that they didn't care about the gospel, they didn't care about God, they just wanted to improve their station in life. And the church got all twisted up because of that. Amen? And so hear this now. Hear this. You are a slave. You are the lowest of the low. You have no family title, no family name, no family money, no inheritance coming your way. And all of a sudden, you meet Jesus one day, and you begin to get involved with the community of faith and the family of God, and all of a sudden, you who had no family find family among a group of strangers. Isn't that amazing? I tell you this, man, and I have a great family that I'm very thankful to God for. But you know what? I'm also really grateful and thankful to God for every single one of you that God has called to be a part of this place. Man, you are my family. I mean that. And I love the fact that in church you can find people from diverse backgrounds who would never ever connect outside of this thing we have called faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we become family. Amen? And because we're family, we have a place to belong. Now I want you to hear it from the other side of this too. Imagine now you are a well-to-do Roman somebody from a great family, and now all of a sudden you're told that slave, that prostitute, that nobody is now your brother, your sister. How does that affect you? But that's the reality. You are no longer strangers. No matter where you've come from, no matter what your background is, in Christ. See, here's why this matters. Here's why this is important. Here's why this happens. What he's saying is this. See, didn't Jesus say, if you want to be saved, you must be what? Born. You must be what? Born. You must be what? Born. You must be born again. And what Paul's saying is this. In Christ, you have all been born again. No matter what your natural birthright was, no matter what your natural heritage was, no matter where you came from on this earth, Paul is letting them know and reminding us, guys, yes, you may have been born into privilege, or yes, you may have been born in the gutter, but you have all been born again into the same Lord and have now the same Father in heaven. Therefore, you are one family. You born in the gutter, you born into privilege, are family together, born again under one Lord. Amen? So you have a family. And then he goes on to say in verse 6 that you are all heirs together, heirs with inheritance rights to the kingdom of God. Now, because of that truth, listen to me, church. Let's bring this to our level today. We've heard it from the first century perspective. I want us to hear two things that means for us today. Two things, two ways of thinking, and two things that we must say because God has said this. Are you ready? Two things. The first thing that we in the year 2018 must say as a church family is this. Listen to me close. Listen to me now. Because God has said that everyone belongs, we must also say you belong. Amen? Let me say it again. Because God has said that everyone belongs, we as his representative on the earth must also now say to everyone, you belong. Turn to your neighbor and say, you belong. Turn to somebody behind you and say, you belong. You belong. Now listen to me close. We must let people know, listen to me, that you belong even though you may not yet believe. Well, now wait a minute, preacher. They got to believe first before they belong. Oh, really? I believe the Bible says somewhere that Jesus died for sinners while we were still sinners. Jesus made the way for us to belong when we didn't care about whether we belonged or not. Amen? Jesus died when we were still sinners, and because Jesus made the way for us to belong, guess what? We've got to make a way for people to belong, even if they may not believe yet. Amen? See, for too long, the church has operated and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. We sometimes operate with this closed door policy, and we join our arms around each other, and we just want to build each other up and encourage each other. And we want people to come in and join us, but we want them to go through certain steps and hoops first before they belong. And what Paul is saying is this, guys, and this is what's happening in the first century church. The argument is this: you have these Jews who are very traditional, very religious, who are now being forced to go into the church with these same people who come from all kinds of crazy backgrounds, and the Jewish people are looking at the Gentiles going, wait a minute, the Old Testament tells us that is not right, that's not correct, that kind of behavior is not right, that kind of language isn't right, that kind of attitude isn't right, and they're looking at them going, before you can worship with us, you've got to change all these things about your life. And Paul says, nope. The change that matters is whether or not they've been born again. And they can belong as that process is taking place. Amen? Amen? And we got to be very careful, church, listen to me now, that we do not look at someone at the beginning of their process and think, well, you're just not quite there yet. Amen? I thank God that God put people in my life that were able to see me at the beginning of my process and understand that what I am now is probably not what God's going to make me to be. And said, you can belong even while you're working on this stuff. Come on, somebody. You can belong while you're working. And so because God says they belong, we must say you belong. And let me just tell you something, guys. Let me tell you two places you belong in this church. Two places that you belong in this church. This is for everybody. Two places. Are you ready? Number one, listen, you belong somewhere serving. You belong somewhere serving. I don't care whether it's running a vacuum cleaner. I don't care whether it's working in the nursery. I don't care whether it's standing at the door with a smile and saying hello to people that come in on Sunday morning. Listen, you belong involved in this church. You can be active in this church. You may think, well, I'm trying to work on this stuff. Listen, work on your stuff, but get active in God's kingdom. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't wait until you have some imaginary ladder that you've climbed spiritually before you say, okay, now I can serve. Okay? Listen, you'll never get to a place where you feel worthy of serving. Amen? I could so easily look at my life every single week and go, you know what? I can't preach this week because I've got all this other stuff in my life that I've got to get straight before I can preach. If I did that, if anybody did that, there would be no preachers. There'd be no ministry. There'd be no worship team. There'd be nobody doing anything for the kingdom because we're all waiting to get to some magical place that we think is where God... And God doesn't say that. God calls us as we are and says, serve as you are. Trust me on the journey and I'll work on you as you go. Amen? So you belong serving. You belong serving somewhere. To the second place you belong. You belong in some sort of life group ministry. You belong in a small group. You belong in a life group. Now listen, I'm not going to take a whole long, I'm going to share more on this later on in the next week or so, but we are relaunching our life groups this month. We tried a little experiment for a few months back in the fall. We tried to retool our life groups and just try it out. And quite honestly, it didn't work like we wanted it to work. And so we're going to retool the whole thing. So what we're going to do, beginning on the... Now, for those of you who were in life group before, for the first 3 or 4 years of the church, it's going to look very similar to that, and yet it's going to be a little different. So instead of meeting for life groups on the first and third Wednesday nights of the month, we're going to have one life group opportunity a month on the third Wednesday. So beginning this month, the third Wednesday, probably next week, we will have information out on where the life groups are taking place and who is leading them, and that's going to be happening. So that's the third Wednesday of the month. Listen, you belong in life group. It is in life group that you begin to become family with the people that you come into worship with every Sunday morning. Amen. You say, well, what the heck is life group? It's real simple. What's going to happen is we're going to meet at somebody's house. There will be a life group here at the church as well for somebody who doesn't want to go to somebody's house you don't know or whatever, and that's uncomfortable. That's the worst experience of life. There will be a life group here at the church this time. Listen. We're going to sit around in a circle or some, not necessarily a circle, but just sit around a living room or whatever. There's going to be some questions we're going to have some questions based on what we've been talking about on Sunday morning. Okay? Amen? You know why? Because I've done this a million times. I have gone out of a church service feeling jazzed up, feeling encouraged, feeling inspired. I go to somebody 2 days later and go, man, church was awesome Sunday. And they go, oh, yeah, what was it about? And you're like, I don't know. I can't remember anything. I can't remember all the words that were said. I just remember this great feeling I had of the presence of God. And I just go, I don't know really what it was about. I just felt really good. It was great. You know what I mean? Which is great. That's a great start. But what we found is that if we'll take a little time and talk about and remind ourselves and dig in to some questions about how what happens on Sunday is working through and applying to our Monday, it will begin to cement what God's saying in our church. Amen? Now, I know you're already coming up with excuses. I can't do it. That's just too much time. I'm too busy on that. And I get that. I guess sometimes we are busy. I know that. But listen, let me just break this down real simply to you. We're doing this once a month. 12 times a year. 12 times a year. Are you honestly telling me that out of the 365 days in the year, you cannot find, and these life groups only last about an hour to an hour and a half. So you're telling me that you cannot find 12 to 15 hours to invest in your church family and making that what God wants it to be? Come on, man. Honestly, I find more time to play Call of Duty throughout the year than life groups will take. I do. Judge me all you want. I don't care. I'm a level 55 general in Call of Duty, World War II. I could prestige right now, but I'm not going to because I don't want to lose all my weapons. If you know what I'm talking about, you're laughing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're still laughing because I sound like an idiot. That's fine. Talking about 12 hours a year. But they can be some of the most valuable 12 hours you will spend in your walk with God, I promise you. Because you know what happens? When you get involved, here's what happens. You come here on Sunday morning, you get inspired, but then all of a sudden you go home and you start thinking, well, that just doesn't make any sense for me. And God, I'm struggling so hard with this. You know what happens? You go to a life group, and you begin to find out, and you hear other people talk, and you hear what other people are going through, and you begin to find out that guess what? You are not so jacked up as you think you are. Because there are people in life group way more jacked up than you. It's awesome. No, I'm just kidding. It's great. It's great therapy. You can't pay for that kind of therapy. I'm telling you right now. And then we pray for one another. If you have a need in your life, you can get prayer right there. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning. And then guess what happens? When you come to church that next Sunday morning, you've got people that you know. And when you do have a need, you have somebody you can call, text, Facebook, get with the church. Say, man, can you just pray with me real quick? You don't have to wait for the preacher to pray with you. You don't have to wait for some anointed special prayer team prayer, which we do all that, and that's anointed, and that's great. But what I'm saying is you don't have to wait for that when you have relationship. Amen? You belong serving. You belong in life group. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, you belong. You belong. Here's the second thing. Now, I want you to listen to me close. The second thing that I must say and that we must say because God has said this. Listen to me close. Number one, God says we belong. God says everyone belongs, so we say you belong. Listen to me close now. God says everyone belongs, so I must say I belong. Say that again. God says everyone belongs. Therefore, I must allow myself to say I belong. And sometimes that may be the biggest hurdle that some people have to getting active in the community of faith and finding family in church. Because listen, and I'm not making excuses. I'm not trying to minimize things that have happened and offenses that may have come your way. I get it. I understand that people can make you feel like you don't belong. I get it. I know that circumstances can happen that make you feel like you belong. I know that sometimes in church, I've encountered some of the most wonderful, sweetest, amazing people in church throughout my life. I've also encountered some real jerks and mean people in church. But you know what? I've also encountered some real sweet people in Walmart. And I've encountered some real jerks in Walmart that the jerks have never stopped me from going to Walmart. I've encountered some real jerks in McDonald's. I've encountered some real idiotic employees at McDonald's. Not this McDonald's. This is the greatest. Talking about some other McDonald's in Ohio. But I still run through that drive-thru, baby, and get my double quarter pounder. And yes, for a dollar, I would like a McDouble on the side. Thank you very much. Is that for a kid? No, it's for me. Shut up. Right? Never stop me from going to McDonald's. I might complain. I might go, man, that person had a real attitude. Man, that person was a real idiot. But I'm still going to go. Yet we so many times in church, we will allow other people who've got their own issues to make me feel like I don't belong. But here's the reality. God has declared once and for all, you belong. So let yourself say, hell or high water, no matter how crazy you look at me or how big of a jerk you act to me, I still belong. Because God says I do. Listen to me. Ephesians 3:6. Let me read this again. This is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings. Listen, because they belong to Christ Jesus. Listen to me close. Where I belong. Man, I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. Where I belong is based on whom I belong to, not on what you think about me. Come on, somebody. Where I belong has its foundation on whom I am, on whose I am, and not what somebody thinks about me or looks at me or doesn't invite me or doesn't say hello to me or gives me the stink eye or whatever other reason. I understand. And some of them are real, and some of them are things that I make up in my head because of my own insecurities. No matter what it is, God says you belong. You have permission to say, I belong. I belong. I belong. Say that right now over yourself. I belong. I belong. I believe that's why God put it in the Bible. So that we would always have something beyond ourselves to look to when I don't feel like I belong. Let's go back to the prodigal son for a moment. Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son wastes all of his father's money. And when the Bible says he comes to himself, his thinking was this: I don't belong in the family anymore, but maybe pops will give me a job, because even the people that work for my dad are eating better than I'm eating right now. That's what he's thinking. You know what's going on? The prodigal says, I don't belong there anymore. He didn't feel like he belonged. He had wasted what his father had given him. He had lived in a way completely opposite to the way that he knew his father had raised him and that he knew his father desired of his life. And he's sitting here in the pig slop thinking, I don't belong anywhere. Maybe I can just be a servant. But when he comes home, his dad lets him know, you're still my son, and you still belong. You know why? You know why? You know why? Because once you're family, you can't never not be family. Hear what I said? Once you're family, you can't never not be family. You can go do your own thing. You can pretend. You can forget about it. You can not have a relationship. You can not have close friends. You can do all that. But guess what? That's always going to be your family. Amen? Hell or high water, good or bad, whatever that means. You can say amen. You can say, oh me, family's family. You can't do nothing about it. And once you've tasted of the goodness of God, and once you've been born again, friend, you can't not be family. You're always going to have a place to belong, no matter what you may feel. You can say, I don't feel like it, but I know where I belong. This is a place that you belong. This is a place where your crazy friend who doesn't know anything about God, guess what? They belong to. This is a place where that crazy son or daughter of yours that's living wild right now, they belong. And we got to let them know. Belong. Amen. I want to read this. I read this in the Message translation. It's so powerful. Put that on the screen for me. Ephesians 2:19, the Message. Listen to what it says. So that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer, listen to this, you're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Isn't that good? You belong here. with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. You belong here. And not only do you belong here, God is using each and every one of us. And I love that it adds this, irrespective of how we got here. Irrespective of how we got here. You know what that's saying? That's saying this. It doesn't matter how you got here, you belong here. It doesn't matter what slop you had to clean off of your feet before you walked in this morning, you belong here. It doesn't matter what kind of obstacles you're facing, what kind of hurdles you had to climb over, what kind of insecurities you're dealing with, what kind of addictions you're dealing with, what kind of past you're trying to work through. It doesn't matter how you got here or what brought you here. You belong in the family of God. You belong. Will you stand all over this place this morning? Just close your eyes for a second, just as a way to focus. Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you. I really believe this morning, I really believe that God wants to tear down some strongholds in some people's minds and hearts. You've been lied to, you've been bought the bill of sale, you've bought the bill of sale, you've bought the lie that tells you you don't belong in the house of God. That church thing, that Jesus thing, that I love Jesus, I'm grateful, I understand that he forgave me of my sins, I understand that I need him to go to heaven, and I believe that, and I put my faith in him, but man, I just don't belong in church, Pastor, you don't understand. I just don't belong with those, that's just not my thing, those just aren't my people, I just don't, I got all these issues, I got such a jacked up pastor, I got this, I got that. Listen to me, friend, God wants to tear that down in your life. And you can choose. You can choose to keep on believing that you don't belong, but people have made me feel like I don't belong. You know what, man, if that's happened, let me just say something to you. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. If you've been made to feel like you don't belong in God's family, I apologize. I apologize on behalf of the person that offended you. If it was me, I apologize. If it was this church, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Listen, we're not perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. And I can't promise you that you're not going to get your feelings hurt again. I can't. In fact, I'll promise you probably will at some point. But what I can promise you is, and that's not letting me or letting someone off the hook and not saying that what happened was wrong. What it's saying is this, is that I'm going to believe God's word that says I do belong, instead of my own situation and circumstances trying to make me think I don't. And I believe in this room this morning, there are people, you've been held back, you've been shut down from growing in your faith and pursuing Christ the way in your heart that you want to and that you know you should, because there's something inside of you saying, this isn't for you. You don't belong. You don't belong. You don't belong. You don't belong. And I've done the very best that I can to tell you that this book, the Word of God, told you 2,000 years ago, you belong. You belong. It doesn't matter how you got here. You belong here. It doesn't matter what path you took to get here. You belong here. And I want to see that stronghold torn down in your life this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Listen, I'm not going to beg you. I am going to ask you right now, if you know that's for you, man, if there's just that nagging feeling, I don't belong in church, that's just not for me. If that's something you've been dealing with, will you just raise your hand right now so God can begin to break that right now. Amen. Come on, raise your hand right now. Leave it up for just a second. See a couple hands. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to just, you know, we haven't done this in a while. Let's stretch the aisles. Join hands. Everybody in this building, join hands with people around you. Move across the aisles. So get out of your seat. Move across the aisles. Let's join together. Now listen. Some of you may be visiting this morning. You may just be checking us out. That's fine. I understand. I understand this isn't for everyone. I know that. God raised up different churches, different people with different anointings to do different things. Everyone in the world is not called to be a part of Red Life Church. I don't know why they wouldn't want to be. But I know that that's not the case. But if this is where you feel God has led you, then this is your spiritual family. And this family is going to grow. We're going to bring more people in. We're going to adopt some more kids. We're going to open the doors up for some more prodigals to come home. Amen? Amen? This is where you belong. This is where you belong. I feel. I just want to hit that for just another second. Because I really feel in my spirit that the enemy's fighting somebody on that right now. I'm saying you belong. And you're running through all the lists in your head of all the reasons why you don't belong. This person, that person, da, 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 da. The enemy's fighting that. We're going to break that stronghold in Jesus' name. Amen? Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, your word has declared that we are equal citizens in your kingdom, that we are family, first with you as our Father and with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, your word has declared that in your house we have a home where we belong. Now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every thought to the contrary in every heart, in every mind, in every soul. Lord, I ask right now, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that your word, like a seed, would be rooted deep in the soul, in the heart of any person where the enemy has sowed seeds that says they don't belong. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that you would pull that plant up by the roots and discard it. Every wall of lies that the enemy has built around someone's heart and soul and mind to make them feel out of place, to make them feel like they don't belong, to make them feel like God's house is not their home, to make them feel like the church of God is not their family. Father, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and I command that wall to go, and I command the enemy to loose his hold in every area that exists. In Jesus' name. God, you have said that everyone belongs. And it may be difficult at times, and we may have to be really intentional and really work hard at it. But God, we have decided as a church unit, as a family, God, we will declare to this community and the world, God, that you send us into, that you belong in Jesus' name. Also, God, we declare over ourselves, because your word has declared that we belong, God, we will say about ourselves, I belong in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name. God, I pray that you begin to rework ways of thinking and patterns of thinking. And every time the enemy brings thoughts in our head that says, this place isn't for me, this isn't the place I belong, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bring this memory and this moment and this word back up into our minds that declares we do belong. And God, I pray that your word will speak louder. Let your truth speak louder than every lie of the enemy. In Jesus' name, make this house your home and our home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.